Shalom, everybody. We're going to have some current events tonight where Dafka, the paragraph that we're going to learn, is unfortunately connected with what's going on today in Israel and Israeli politics. And let's go into it. If you remember, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, talks about, maybe I'll just first explain the heading, when even Rav Kook identifies a Jew as evil. We've seen many times that Rav Kook says that every Jew has a good and godly essence. On the other hand, surprisingly, we're going to see today that there is such a thing as a Jew who loses his skula Yisraelit. And when is that? Rav Kook has a surprising answer, so let's see it inside. If you remember, the Gemara is telling us, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel. We won't go into the whole background again, what we saw last time, but Am Yisrael is sinning, and Hashem wants to punish us. So Hashem says to the angel Gabriel, Go, Lech V'Rashom HaMitzchan Shel Tzadikim, Tav Shel Dio. Make a mark of ink on the heads, on the foreheads of the tzaddikim, shelo yishlutu be'malachei chabala, so that the punishing angels don't punish the righteous by accident. Val mitzcham shel rishaim tav shel dam, and put a blot of blood on the foreheads of the evil. It's symbolic, obviously. Kedei sheyishlutu behem malachei chabala, so that they will be punished. Amra midat adin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the midah of justice came before God, and he said, Ribono shel olam, manishtanu elu mielu. What is the difference between these and these? Why are these you are punishing, and these Jews you are not punishing, you're saving? Amarla, halalu tzadikim gmurim, valalu rishayim gmurim. What do you mean, what's the difference? These are righteous, and these are evil, and how can you compare them? And we begin speaking last time about the Havamina. How is it that the Malachei Chabalah, or the Midat Adin, both of them cannot differentiate between a righteous person and an evil person, that they need as if it were this drop of blood or coloring on their forehead? And let's see it inside. Rav Kook, this is Enaya, Piska He, Perak He, Piska Kafbet, writes as follows, Amar La, Halalu Tzadikim Gmurim, Halalu Rishayim Gmurim. God answers the Midah of Justice. What do you mean that they're the same? What do you mean you're asking why these are punished and these are getting reward? Because these are righteous and these are not righteous. Shnei inyanim mavdilim bein hatzadik ve'arasha. There are two aspects which differentiate between the righteous and the evil. Number one, hama'asim, the actions that they do. Shem dvarim mikriim, that some people do a lot of good actions, other people do a lot of bad actions, and their actions speak for themselves. Hamotziim ela poal et hatzedek o et harasha hatzafun bo mekanefesh. Inside the nefesh, notice Rav Kook is talking about the nefesh, not the neshama. Right? We've spoken before about how the nefesh is like a go-between between the soul and the body. Whereas, so the nefesh is sort of a physical aspect of the soul. Above that is the neshama, which is totally godly. And in between the nefesh and the neshama is the ruach, which is also a go-between, a step-down mechanism, as we learned about. So one aspect that differentiates between people is their actions. The problem is that almost everybody has good actions and also bad actions. And if you notice, the Gemara tells us, look at back at the Gemara in Source number 1, where Hashem is telling the Midat HaDin, the justice minister, these are tzadikim gemurim. They are totally righteous. Now, who's totally righteous? On the other hand, the others are rishaim gemurim. And same question, who's totally evil? So, one aspect of that differentiates between a righteous and an evil person are their actions. On the other hand, that's not really totally righteous or totally evil. So, we're going to move on to the second aspect that differentiates the righteous from the evil. Vatzmiut, the essence, etzin tchunata nefesh, the essence of a person's soul, sheyesh yitaron lechacham minaksil, ki yitrona or minachoshech. There are some people who are not just do good actions, but they are essentially good. They are essentially righteous. And others are not just do bad, not just do a lot of bad, but they already get to that stage where they are essentially bad. And again, there's a big question mark, because Rav Kook always talks about Jewish people, and really every person is essentially good. Everyone is essentially godly. Now, how much more so a member of the Jewish people who has a Jewish soul, a Jewish neshama, the pintaliyid, that Jewish spark? So, how can a Jew lose his essential goodness? Big question. Paragraph bet. Aval, kishigiwa rishava tzedaka ad merom kitzan. When evil gets to its extreme, and lahavdil righteousness gets to the opposite extreme. V'nei kol zman sharisha lo gavra ad kidei likvoa atzmiyut shel rasha b'tchunat hanefesh shel baal ha'maasim ha'raim. If a person has not totally lost his goodness, and then he is called essentially an evil person. Now, it's like on the Israeli news, sometimes they talk about, you know, the head of the mafias. There's Ha'avaryan, Asi Abutbol. They call him the criminal. Now, how many times does a person have to be in jail until he is called officially a criminal? I don't know. But Rav Kook is lahavdil talking about there is a person who becomes essentially bad. Elikvo atz again. Vine kolzvan sharisha lo gavrad kede likvo atzmiut sharesha bitchunat nefesh shabala masim haraim. If a person is just doing bad things, even many bad things, as long as it's not his essential essence. And also on the other extreme, v'chena tzedaka lo bali de midah zu shel kviyata madbea shela bruchov v'nafsho shel adam, till a person is totally good or totally bad. Notice Rav Kook is relating to that term in the Gemara of tzadik gamor and rasha gamor. Okay, so how's Rav Kook explaining it? A stam tzadik and a rasha is somebody who does, this one does a lot of good deeds, maybe a little bad deeds, the other Rasha does a lot of bad deeds, maybe just a little good deeds. But who is a Rasha Gamur? Somebody whose essence has been changed. Az mishkal talui al pi erkam shel ma'asim. Right, as long as a person isn't totally essentially changed, so we look at his actions. He's 90% good, 90% bad, whatever. If we start going into the depths of a person's actions, like we saw last time, you'll understand he had a terrible education, or he had a terrible Rebbe, or he had a violent father, or his parents didn't pay attention to him, or all of the things that Freud says that were bad in a person's childhood, that make him into a bad person. They're not really make him bad, right? Because there are reasons, circumstances, right? Somebody went through this tragedy or that tragedy. Circumstances can affect a person's behavior, as we spoke about. I think it was just two classes ago, nature and nurture. So, lo neda lavdil kol kach ben mishu lefia dome tzadik o rasha, v'tipol b'chazka she'ela tama nishtanu elu me'elu. And Rav Kook here is explaining that a justice minister who's coming before God and he says, what's the difference between these and them? Why are these you're punishing and there you're saving? That's a weird statement. Rav Kook is saying because it's talking about those who, they're not essentially good or essentially bad. Most people are, if you look at their bad actions, you can find logical reasons why they are bad. So they're not really all that bad. And it's not our topic today when Chazal say, Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek l'olam haba, all Jews have a share in the world to come. Rav Kook is beginning to explain it here. That if you look at a person's actions, you can usually find a rationale that to justify that he's not all that evil. He's a victim of his society, he's a victim of his education, etc., etc. Aval, paragraph Gimel. Kishigiu harisha v'atzdaka ad merom kitzan. But when a person really gets to the extreme that he becomes essentially good or essentially bad, not just looking at his actions, that's what God is looking at. When God says to the minister of justice, right, he says, what do you mean? These are good, totally good, and these are totally bad. He's not looking at their actions. Hashem looks at a person who he is inside, who is his essence. And that we have to define. And that's exactly what we're going to define soon. Let's just continue a little. Rav Kook continues. Again, paragraph Gimel. Avak shigiu harisham azakad merom kitzan. When a person gets totally to the extreme, ad shenikve'a ha-matbe'a shel harisha b'resha b'tor tchuna atzmit shel limud hara, until the person becomes so totally evil, utchunat atzedek b'tzadik b'kinyan shalem gamur, he is totally righteous, and he realizes his potential. Or every person has a yetzer hara and a yetzer tov. If a person is totally, essentially, chooses to go after his yetzer hara, he becomes essentially bad. On the other hand, his twin brother, who might have the same DNA and has the same Jewish soul, he may, through his free will, be essentially good. Now, being that we're running out of time, I think we have to get into the punchline. Hare, when does a Jew who's born Jewish, when and how can he become essentially bad? Right? This does not sound Rav Kookian. So let us look in source number 3. We saw, I believe it was last time, Igeret Takana. That's Igeret Taf Kuf Nun Hei, 555, where Rav Kook writes to the Ribaz, the chief rabbi of Tzfat, who doesn't understand. He asks Rav Kook, how can you're so righteous and you're so learned, how can you be a Zionist? And Rav Kook has a very long answer. And one of the main points is, and that we've learned in the past, is that a person, every Jew, is essentially good. That is the beginning of the answer. Now we're raising the question that Rav Kook himself raises. What about those people who are essentially bad? There are some Jews, not many, who lose their share in the world to come. Who are they? Here Rav Kook continues. This is on page Kuf Pei Zayin in Igeret Takana. Omnam, lifamim, this is in source number 3. Lifamim mitgaber choshech kazeh. Sometimes a Jew can become so problematic that he even loses his segula, he loses his Jewish essence, his godly essence. Aval ze I efshar ki im bemishe ba lemidazu liot chas v'shalom sone et Yisrael. This is only found regarding somebody who hates the Jewish people. That's a sign that he doesn't have Segulat Yisrael. He doesn't have that Jewish essence. But a person may not eat kosher, he may not observe Shabbat, he might not do any mitzvot, but as long as he identifies with the Jewish people, He contributes to the state of Israel. He serves in the Israeli army. He identifies with the Israeli flag. That person still has a skula Yisraelit. Now, that just maybe sharpens the question, so who doesn't have it? All right, everybody likes the Jewish people. Even the totally assimilated Jew in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, votes for Israel. Well, here, parenthetically, over the last couple of years, we see a problematic behavior among not a few liberal Jews who are becoming anti-Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that every liberal Jew or every leftist is anti-Israel. As a matter of fact, I'll already point out something very happy, very good, that even in all the anti-Bibi and anti-changes in the judicial system in Israel that's going on, the symbol of the anti is the Israeli flag, which means they really want what's good for the state of Israel. They want to be here. On the other hand, we have heard some, thank God, individuals. A friend of mine sent me just yesterday an interview with a famous high-ranking officer in the Israeli army who says, these right-wing people, they are not my brothers. I am not going to fight to defend them. I am going to leave the land of Israel, and I'm going to leave the state of Israel because it's not my state. Now, somebody who goes to that extreme, by the way, it could be Neturei Karta as well. Neturei Karta, who are against the state of Israel, and they go and they hug Ahmadinejad and the terrorists and the Iranians, they also may be losing their Segula Yisraelit. And Rav Henkin Zatzal, one of the great poskim of the last generation, he said that the Neturei Karta, they are the Erev Rav. They are not Jewish. Because how can they be against the Jewish people? Who can side with the enemies who throw rocks and who wants to nuke the Jewish people? Maybe we'll already foreshadow a drop once we're on this topic. Let's jump to the Rambam in source number 6. The Rambam in source number 6. And Rav Soloveitchik used to quote this as well regarding the Neturei Karta. The Rambam lists there are 24 people who have no share in the world to come. HaPoresh Midarkei Tzibur. This is the Rambam Paragimel Halacha Yud Aleph. By the way, the Tzitz Eliezer, just like Rav Soloveitchik, quotes this Rambam in that context of Charedim who oppose Israel. HaPoresh Midarkei Tzibur. Somebody who leaves the community of Israel. Ve'af al pi shilo avar averot. And even if he doesn't do any sins, say he observes Shabbat and he eats glad kosher, ela nivdal me'adat Yisrael, but he separates himself from the Jewish people. Ve'no ose mitzvot bichlalan. He does the mitzvot, but not as part of the Jewish people. He has his own sect or his own family. Ve'lo nichnas betzaratan. He is not upset when Am Yisrael is upset. Somebody asked me recently about Yom HaShoah. You know, because it comes out during the month of Nisan, and many rabbis were against having a sad day during the month of Nisan. And the answer is, well, the Rambam says here, so anybody, when we see that Am Yisrael is upset, they have an official day commemorating the Holocaust or commemorating the 26,000 Israeli soldiers who fell, if you're not upset on that day, you have a serious religious problem. Because you are not identifying with the people of Israel. You're not upset when they're upset. Similarly, the Ramchal in Mesilat Yesharim in Perek Yud Tet elaborates on this. He says the same thing when a person is not happy when Am Yisrael is happy. If all of Am Yisrael is celebrating the Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israeli Independence Day, and everyone celebrates it different ways, so one person says Hallel, the other person doesn't say Hallel, but somebody who is not celebrating at all, the Ramchal says, somebody who's not celebrating when Am Yisrael is happy, or somebody who is not sad when Am Yisrael is sad, he has no share in the world to come. Vilomitane betanitan. It's not saying that he doesn't fast on Yom Kippur. It's talking about when there is a national tragedy and the rabbis decree a fast day, and this guy doesn't fast. Again, he might be observing Shabbat and Kashrut, but he doesn't feel part of the Jewish nation. He has no share in the world to come. And let's already skip to source number 5, where Rav Kook gets into the main difference between Reform Jews and Zionist Jews. However, Reform Jews are not religious. And Zionist Jews, many of them, are not religious. What is the difference? So Rav Kook writes in source number 5, this is Perek Bilchot Tzibur, a very famous article. It's found in Mamare Riyah, page 58. You should read the whole thing as when you get a chance. V'chol yesod ha-ra'ayon shel hotza'at poshei Yisrael michlal ha'uma. Here, you have to remember, Rav Kook is a student of the Netziv, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. When the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin heard that Rav Shemeshim Rafola Hirsch separated himself from the Jews who were not so religious in Germany, he got very upset. Nevertheless, we're going to see that there's a difference between the Reform, especially the Reform in the time of Rav Kook. Rav Kook is not referring to the Reform today, as we'll see in a minute. But somebody again. This idea of saying that somebody who's not religious is not Jewish. By the way, that's what the Satmar Rebbe writes in his Sefer, this is his second book, Alagula Valatmura. He says Zionists are not Jewish. Halohu ra'ayon pasul v'derech haminut mamash. This is mamash apikorsin. You're not, this is heretical to say that a non-religious Jew is not Jewish. Kistam mishnah de megillah daf kafe amod aleph, as it says, ha'omer yivarchucha tovim hareze derech minut. Somebody who says that the good people should praise God, he's a heretic. What do you mean? Rashi explains, She'eino kolel rishaim b'shivcho shel makom. What do you mean? The rishaim, even the evil, are supposed to praise God. So somebody who doesn't want the evil to praise God, but he kicks them out of the Jewish people, he is a heretic. V'chachamim lamdu b'kritu davav amud bet. Michel b'na sherecha ra. Right? There are 11 spices in the Ketoret. And one of them smells terrible. It's called the chelbana. I smelt it once. Sort of smells like garlic, but a little worse. But when it is found together with the other 10 spices, it davka adds something very beautiful. Umena katu ben samani aktore dahavi le derech minu lotzi et haposhi min haklal. So who, getting back to our question, who is the Jew who loses his segula Yisraelit? Paragraph bet. Ve'im ki ra'u gdolei adorot bidorot shelifaneinu. We saw the Chatam Sofer who came out very strong against the Reform. Kishikamu rishaim lekakea bitzatam shel sonei Yisrael min olam v'ratzu lidamot la'umot. And the Reform in the time of the Chatam Sofer and Rav Hirsch, they wanted to be like the Goyim. They wanted to be good German citizens. B'chol ma'aseyehen ulit karef lishman rachman alitzlan mamash. They stopped doing Shabbat and Kashrut, and they didn't believe in the Torah anymore. V'horu agonim gdolei eretz zali badel mehem. The Chatam Sofer and Rav Shimshin Raphael Hirsch, in this case, were correct. When they say we have to separate ourselves, who is he talking about? Halo aita ikar kavanatam mipnei shehaposhim hahem itchilu likatzetz benetiyot shel achdut asher lechal Yisrael. Because they did not identify as Jews, as a member of Am Yisrael. They wanted to be German citizens, and as soon as you come out, not only that, ratzu lachriv mamash et ha'uma b'yisoda, b'ma she'asu lehem tzivyon miyuchad b'nyanei adat, b'mechikat shem tzion v'yerushalayim mitoch ha'tfilah. One of the first changes of the Reform prayer book is that they took out mentions of Jerusalem, of Zion. They didn't want the Beit HaMikdash anymore. Rav Kook says, That is a different topic. Somebody who doesn't want to be a member of the Jewish nation, he loses his Jewish essence. And again, it might be somebody from the Torah Karta, and it might be somebody 130 years ago in the Reform movement. I stress, today in the Reform movement, almost all of them are Zionists. They support the State of Israel. They identify as Jews. They identify with the State of Israel. On the other hand, Rav Kook warns us what may very well happen to Zionists in one or two or three generations. And unfortunately, this may be what's already happening in the State of Israel today. Regarding some people, thank God they're still a minority. I hope they stay a minority. Rav Kook writes in Orot, page Pei Dalet, source number 7. Mikubalim anu shemrida ruchanit tiyeh beretz Yisrael b'Yisrael. We have a tradition. We learned once together the last Mishnah Masechet Sotah that says that there's going to be a rebellion against God. There's going to be a lot of chutzpah against tradition, against when? Davka in the end of days. Beperek shatchalat chiyat omat titorer lavo. Davka as part of the redemption process. Beikvita de Meshicha, there's going to be a rebellion. Hashalva, for those who don't remember, you can go into and find my classes on Ma'amar Hador. You can find it on YU Torah and on Yeshiva of Beit El. Rav Kook discusses this at length. Hashalva gashmit shetavo lechelek me'uma, the physical comfort that will come to part of the nation of Israel. Asher yidamu shekvar ba'u lematratam kula, they think that they have achieved their goal. A Zionist whose whole goal is tikva. What is hatikva? Liyot am chofshi ba'artzenu. Once we have that independence, so what now? And he's going to start looking around, and he's going to find emptiness. Taktina taneshama, Rav Kook says, that two or three generations, and those Zionists, unless they reconnect with the Tanakh and biblical, godly, religious Zionism, they're Nishama, their spirituality, is going to shrink. They won't find any meaning in their former ideology. Okay, I don't know. I'll just try and talk more clearly.
Because of this?
It's always here. Right. Okay. All of those ideals of the Zionists who left their homes in Russia to drain swamps and to fight malaria and to fight Arab marauders, what's happening to their grandchildren? Now in Oslo, we began to see this, where some people said, okay, let's give away the land of Israel. Who needs Israel? This is what's called post-Zionism. And Rav Kook is warning us that a post-Zionist, let's already get to the punchline, in Otzrot HaRi'iyah, in source number 11, this is an Otzrot HaRi'iyah in the old edition, page 766, Rav Kook says, what may probably happen to the Zionists if they don't reconnect with the Torah? If they talk Hebrew and they like the Israeli flag, external Zionism, the external identification with the Jewish people, but inside it's totally not Jewish. Now remember, Ben-Gurion learned Tanakh. Today a lot of the non-religious, they love the Tanakh. They love the land of Israel. But Rav Kook is saying that if eventually some of them are not going to love the songs of Israel anymore and not going to love Eretz anymore, ha'omed liyot nefach limashchit ulemifletzet ulesof gam ken lesinat Yisrael ve'eretz Yisrael. Some of those Zionists may eventually become anti-Zionists and anti the State of Israel and anti the people of Israel. We see people today, anti-Bibi people, who are talking against the Israeli economy. And they're convincing investors from abroad, don't invest in Israel because they want to take down the right-wing government, the religious government. Now, if you're a Zionist, even if it's not the party that you voted for, so you can demonstrate. But those who were demonstrating with the Israeli flag, and those who are still going to Miluim and doing the army service, they still have that Israeli godliness. On the other hand, if a person says, I'm not going to go to Miluim anymore, I'm not going to defend the state of Israel, I'm going to leave the land of Israel, I'm an anti-Zionist, they're not my brothers anymore, Rav Kook is saying these people are dangerously becoming those Rishaim Gemurim. Because again, somebody who, as long as he identifies with the Jewish people, he has that Jewishness. Okay? But Rav Kook is warning us. And look in source number 11. Rav Kook is telling us that this is El Sotriya again. Aluvi karo moda davar shebanim shelo tam avot. The children, or maybe the grandchildren of those super Zionists, who maybe, okay, they were anti-religious, but at least they were super Zionists. They loved the Jew. They gave their lives for the Jewish people and for the Jewish land and for the Jewish language. This is only going to last a generation or two. But somewhere along the line, their grandchildren are going to say, hey, what is this nationalism? It is like gizanut. It's like racism. What's the difference between Jews and Palestinians? What's the difference between humanists and Jews? And Rav Charlap, in his Sefer, Mimaynei Yeshua, this is page Shin Kaf Aleph, if I didn't bring it for you, he says that's what Milchama Gog Magog is going to be. In the end of days, the Goyim are going to group together to be humanists, to be universalist, to be super liberal, and then they're going to turn to the Jewish state and say, hey, why do you not want to intermarry with Gentiles? What's wrong with intermarriage? Now, the truth is, we are in favor of intermarriage for Gentiles and Gentiles. But it sounds racist if you don't understand why Jews are different and why there has to be this Jewish nation who is a light to the nations, and that we can't intermarry, and that we need our flag. The Chazal saying Bamid Baraba that God hates all of the flags except for the flag of Israel. In other words, nationalism, patriotism is problematic except for the patriotism of Israel, which by definition is a universal patriotism. That's the beauty of Zionism. So Rav Kook is saying if these Zionists don't come back to their roots, they're going to become anti-Zionists. And Rav Kook goes on to say that if we compare them with the Reform Jews from Germany, look at Moses Mendelssohn. His grandchildren are not Jewish. His descendants are not Jewish. And Rav Kook is worried that the same thing may happen to the secular Zionists. And that, to summarize, is the difference between somebody who can lose their essential Judaism. Who is that? Somebody who does not identify with the nation of Israel. And that is somebody who God says he is a Rasha Gamur. We hope and we pray, and we have to turn to our secular brothers and make sure that they don't become post-Zionists, and that the liberal Jews in America do not become anti-Zionists, and that we have to try and to go on a college campus and debate 90% of the people who are liberals. We don't stand an ice cube chance in hell. But at least we have to focus on the Jewish, our Jewish brothers, that they should stay Zionists. And again, we're living in historical times. And as it says in the Divrei Hayamim, Perek Divrei Hayamim Aleph Kaftet Kaf Gimel, it says that to serve the Jewish people is to serve Hashem. V'avadtem et Hashem Elokecha v'et Amo Yisrael. And that is the essence of serving God. Now, so even if a person looks religious and may observe Shabbat, but is against the state of Israel, he has a very serious spiritual problem. And conversely, a person may have Mesirut Nefesh for the people of Israel, even if he doesn't observe Shabbat. He's also certainly lacking, but he is essentially Jewish. He has the Jewish neshama. On the other hand, we have to make sure that in this period of post-nationalism, we don't have our fellow Jews becoming post-Zionists.